Four of the party laid hands on it, and exerted themselves to the utmost to keep it down, but it easily broke from their grasp, and reached the top of the apartment, so that the medium was able to write her name upon the ceiling above her head. All the party then seized the table by its legs, and endeavored to pull it down, but in vain, until Mrs. Conant, who, between the danger of being pressed against the wall overhead by the spirit's exertions to draw it away from the gentleman, and the peril of slipping from the table to the floor, by reason of the tipping caused by the struggle to draw it down, became alarmed, when the spirit lost control of the heavier body, and the table came crashing to the floor, being somewhat broken by the fall. Mrs. C. Comma, however, was not harmed, as she was slowly let down among the ruins of her former seat, and quietly confronted the amazed skeptics, who anticipated for her some severe bodily injury. This circle, occurring like the other, in the full glare of day, seemed to be perfectly satisfactory to the investigators, who, after a playful parley with the spirits as to who should pay for the table, Dr. Fisher assuring them that they must, which they did, dissolved the meeting. At the conclusion of the séance, the medium found herself obliged to pay the penalty of overruling the desire of her spirit physician, for Big Dick followed her home, very unexpectedly, and, when her husband and herself had retired for the night, commenced amusing himself with various antics, which, while they were probably sources of enjoyment for him, did not meet the approbation of the servant girls who were in a room nearby, but had not yet fallen asleep. These came rushing en dishabille to the landlady, full of fear, declaring that the house was being torn down by the devil who was at work in Mrs. Conant's apartment. The confusion continued, tables and chairs were upset, and the bed was violently rocked, upon which Mr. Conant and wife arose, the former, who was not in the least mediumistic, declaring that it was best to be out of it, and that he meant to see what was the cause of the disturbance. Mrs. Katz, being admitted, advised Mrs. Conant to summon Dr. Fisher, for an explanation, and they accordingly sat at a table, which they raised from its overturned position on the floor, for the purpose. The spirit physician at once came, recalling to the mind of his medium the fact that he had strongly objected to her coming en rapport with Big Dick, and saying that as she had insisted on doing so, she must abide by the consequences. Finding she must settle the matter herself, the medium at once, on the recommencement of the disturbance, which occurred as soon as Dr. Fisher had retired from control, opened a conversation with the unruly spirit, telling him in a way that appealed to his reason that, on all proper occasions she would be happy to meet with him, but that at the present time he was greatly annoying the occupants of the house, and she would prefer that he depart. He appeared to listen, as anyone would while yet in the body, and, at the conclusion of her remonstrance, went away, giving her no further trouble. That the inmates of the house might see the tangible results of this nocturnal visit, Mrs. Conant allowed everything in her room to remain undisturbed in the position in which the spirit left it, save the table mentioned above, till next day, and morning revealed a most extraordinary state of confusion, as to furniture, in her apartment. Big Dick came to her at different times, at subsequent periods, and was so violent that she was often frightened at his exhibitions of strength. She was therefore much gratified when he at length took his final leave of her. Short clipped in from Mystic Hours, or, Spiritual Experiences. George by G. A. Redman, M.D. From 1814. Or January 1859 Middle. C. Partridge Link, Contents, Chapter 1. Early Reminiscences. Susceptibility of Father to Spiritual Influences and Impressions. Spirit Visitation. Lizzie's Introduction to the Second Life. Manifestation and Prediction by Father of the Death of a Number of the Family. His Devotion to His Child. All Hands on Deck, and Fulfillment of His Own Prophecy. Somnambulism. Visit to the State of New York. Advent of the Rochester Knockings. Removal from Kingsbury to Pleasant Square. First and unsuccessful attempt at forming circles. No room. Return to Boston. Thanksgiving. My first introduction to the mysteries of spiritualism. Clark. My first communication. Belief established. Mother's message. Who is the medium? Business matters of secondary importance. My first seance. Ground and lofty tumbling. Return to New York, -17 Chapter 2. Return to Western New York. Whence cometh news of the wind's wings? Reception by Mr. Brown. Might as well keep the winds from blowing. First circle in Pleasant Square. Complimentary concert to Mr. Bissell. Doubts removed. Coadjutor to the spirits. Facts for the clergy to digest. Miles Brown and the Nutmeg. The Wrapping Wagon. Mundane manifestations at Gloversville. Rappers discomfited. Kaya Dutter House. First seance in Johnstown. Truth outdone. A peddler's contribution. Defeat of the vendor and his public recantation. Satisfactory termination of our labors. Circles at Oren Brown's. Visit to Amsterdam. Second appearance of Anne Merrick. Skepticism illustrated. John Proper. Mrs. Shepherd in search of a medium. Directions follow Ed and successful issue. Batcheldersville. Return home. Circle at Ad Dyson Phelps. Night of Adventures with Anne. Miles's Fear and. Chapter 3. First visit to Albany. Temperance Hotel. Mrs. A.D. Shepherd. Faraday Nonest. Tasso. Circles at Mrs. Shepherd's. Seed sown and the result. Mrs. R.P. Ambler at an angle of 45 degrees. Circle at Mrs. S. Why don't you go up higher? Other physical manifestations. Circuit Preacher. Evening at Mr. Chatfield's. Return to Johnstown. Evening with Mr. Mathers. Auld Lang Syne. The Domines and the Devil. Circle at Mr. Green's. Reception by the table. Ponderous ascent and descent. Doubts and misgivings. Ingenious test. Faith. School of Development. Visit from Child Harold. Glens Falls. Hospitality of Mr. and Mrs. M.C. Donald. Manifestations at the Falls. Chapter 4. 61 Assistance of Matty Sufficiently Wise. Opposition Lecture. Result of the Giants' Return to Boston. Return from Glens Falls. Second visit to Albany. Business matters. Suspense. Father's communication. Swaney. Tests. Quicker than shot. Anathemas of the church. Visit to Johnstown. Circles. Interest and believers. Discord in the churches. Son required. He is invited to instruct himself. His invitation accepted. How they investigate. The elders' confusion. The quarter production. Visit. Circle at Mr. Wells's. Taken at his word. Father's prophecy. Monthly meeting at Mrs. Leeds's. Circles. Second edition of Glens Falls. Rooms at number 45 Carver Street. A spiritual household. Big Thunder. Remarks. Chapter 5. 84 William Lovett's interview. Communication. Mr. Alan Putnam's seance, Mr. Hart's letter. W. A. Fogg's manuscript. Poem. Mr. Charles Bruce's astounding experiences. Shelley. 109 Chapter 6. A visit to Worcester. Bolts drawn by spirits. Affectionate meeting. Mr. Lovett's second interview. Mr. Curtis from his spirit wife. Fool's not all dead yet. Mr. Farquhar and his Odic snuffbox. Call to Washington. Mr. Brooks. Dr. Gardner's letter. Communication from Sir John Carmichael. Vision, 127, and much, much, more in this OLD online, free Google book greater than part 3, Remarkable Mental and Physical Manifestations, part 3. Well done, thou watcher on the lonely tower. Is the day breaking? Dawns the happy hour? we pine to see it, colon, tell us, yet again, if the broad daylight breaks upon the plain? It breaks, it comes, the misty shadows fly, a rosy radiance gleams along the sky, the mountain tops reflect it calm and clear, the plain is yet in shade, but day is near. Charles Mackay. I. The writing phase of Mrs. Conant's mediumship now became very strongly marked. She would frequently transcribe the thoughts or desires of two invisibles at the same time, one using her right, the other her left hand. Sometimes while her medical control, Dr. Fisher, was writing out his prescriptions with one, the other hand would be engaged in answering the questions of a visitor, thus indicating that the mind of the medium had not the slightest connection with these dual manifestations of intelligence. Another phase of mediumistic development soon made its appearance in her case, being the power of discerning hidden things, and giving information regarding lost articles. As an instance in point, a gentleman boarding in the house came one day to the landlady and said, "Mrs. Katz, I have lost some money from my room. This is the third time it has happened. I want to know whether the spirits can tell me anything about it." Advised by Mrs. Katz, he made a visit to Mrs. Conant's room, in the upper part of the house, and asked for a sitting. He was immediately informed, by the influence controlling her hand, that the lost sums could be recovered. "Call the landlady," next directed the spirit. Mrs. Katz was summoned, "follow the medium," was the written order, and the exploring party of three set out upon its errand. "Where am I going?" demanded Mrs. C. "We will tell you," replied the guides, in whom she had implicit trust. She led the way to the gentleman's room, went up to the bed, which was situated in one corner, wheeled it around, and, stripping back some 2 yards of the carpet on the floor beneath it, displayed to the astonished eyes of Mrs. Katz and her boarder 3 rolls of bills the concealed, saying to the gentleman, "There is your money." "Who put it there?" he asked. The spirits replied that they would tell him if he would promise to give good advice to the thief, and not deal harshly, but as Jesus would have acted under similar circumstances. This he promised to do, when he was informed that the theft had been accomplished by the chambermaid of the house. The spirits advised Mrs. Katz not to discharge her, and thus throw her into the world with the taint of suspicion fixed upon her character, but to take her to her room and talk to her in such a manner as to dissuade her from the evil course she was pursuing. The lady did as directed, and was rewarded by the penitent expressions of the girl, who acknowledged that she took the money and concealed it where she thought no one would think of looking for it, intending to go after it when the excitement concerning its loss had subsided. She faithfully promised to avoid such operations in future, and was ever after an exemplary person, thus, as well as the gentleman, receiving substantial benefit from the mediumistic powers of Mrs. Conant, being turned by the gentle means the spirits counseled from the winding path of duplicity to the fair though rugged road of honesty in all things. On another occasion, something having been lost in the house, Mrs. Conant was requested to find it. She was led by her invisible friends to the room occupied by the person who had taken it, and immediately charged said individual with the theft, but being met with a stout denial, she went up to the bed, and opening it, displayed the stolen article hidden between 2 mattresses, greatly to the confusion of the abstractor, who evidently supposed the place of concealment to be beyond the probability of human skill to detect. But like others, this individual had forgotten that, as the Apostle to the Gentiles informs us, we are compassed about with a cloud of witnesses, though unseen to the eye of the flesh, and was ignorant that the time had come when their celestial voices were proclaiming to earthly media, as of old the Nazarene did to the wandering 12, "What we tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetop." 2. An aunt of Mrs. Katz, Mrs. White, had occasion to visit the house while on a journey from Maine, her native state, but so much afraid was she of the spirits, and so great a dread did she entertain of the communion so common with them among the members of the household, that she dare not see Mrs. Conant, and used to dart hurriedly past the door of her apartment in going downstairs. The medium greatly desired to persuade the lady to come to her room, as she was satisfied that she possessed a fine organization suited to the production of physical manifestations, though ignorant herself of her powers. She mentioned her desire to the landlady, who shook her head, saying, "Aunt Betsy is too sharp for you." But after some days of waiting, the looked-for opportunity presented itself. The old lady was ascending the stairs, and as she came opposite her door, Mrs. Conant appeared and insisted upon her entering. Not wishing, under the circumstances, to appear impolite, Aunt Betsy ventured across the threshold, all the while casting furtive glances around, evidently expecting to see a fearful vision, or to encounter some blood-curdling spiritual monstrosity, but all remaining quiet, she grew reassured, and took a seat. Mrs. Conant immediately bolted the door to prevent her egress, and then commenced a general conversation upon the city and its mode of life as contrasted with that of the country, gradually turning it upon the question of spiritualism. Her guest joined in the exchange of views, and as they sat thus, passive to spirit agency, to the astonishment of both, Aunt Betsy Dash, who was a powerful woman, and a heavy one as well, began to be raised up, till at least a foot above the floor was reached, when she remained suspended in the air. "Aunt Betsy," exclaimed Mrs. Conant, "what are you doing? Where are your feet?" "Oh, child, you have bewitched me," a frightened woman. "No," replied Mrs. C., "it is done by the power of the spirits." The lady, whose weight was at least 200 pounds, remained thus suspended for about a minute, and then descended slowly to the floor. "Aunt Betsy," said the resident medium, "if the spirits can do that, let us see what else they can accomplish. Perhaps they can write for you." The two then sat down at the table, putting their hands upon it, the visitor having previously been supplied by Mrs. C., with a pencil and sheet of paper. The old lady's hand was at once controlled, and a fine message written for Mrs. Conant, signed, "From one of your spirit guides, Professor John Hubbard," as previously stated the grandfather of her husband. All this was accomplished, notwithstanding the fears of Aunt Betsy, and her opposition to spiritualism in the abstract. 3. The mother of Mrs. Katz, who was a regular resident at the house, was an enthusiastic believer in the new gospel of spirit communion. One evening during a visit paid by her to Mrs. Conant, a work basket upon the table was violently hurled to the floor by some invisible agency, and its contents scattered in confusion around. Grown bold by her familiarity with the various phases of spirit manifestations, the medium immediately commanded, "Let whoever threw down that basket, pick it up and put it on the table." At once the various misplaced articles were taken, one by one, from the floor, and placed in the basket in sight of both ladies, the room being well lighted at the time, and when the task was completed, the basket was returned to the table. Mrs. Conant then demanded the name of the spirit performing the act, and upon its being written through her hand, her visitor exclaimed, "Why, I knew that man." "Yes, I guess you did," he rejoined. "You owe me half a dollar." The old lady protested that she took care of the man in his last sickness, that she did much for him, and that if there was any balance in the ease it was in her favor, not his. He then began to exhibit considerable violence, disturbing the table and chairs to such a degree that the visitor became much frightened, whereupon the uproarious spirit proceeded to transcribe, "Pray away, old lady, pray, but God's asleep, he don't hear you." The woman's terror increased, and she acknowledged to Mrs. Conant that she was mentally praying for protection, when he wrote that message to her. She desired to escape from the presence of such a powerful ill-wisher, and so proceeded to think of a movement toward the door. Upon the table rested two lamps, and the candle which she had brought with her when she entered the room, was also there. Said table continued to rock violently, but as yet, neither had fallen on the floor. Fearing lest the undeveloped spirit, in his evident anger, would precipitate such a catastrophe. The old lady, as she sat by the table, seized the lamps in her hands, when her unseen persecutor materialized a spirit hand, and with the quickness of thought threw the candle upon her lap, writing at the same time, through the mediumship of Mrs. Conant, "There, old woman, take the candle, too, if you haven't got light enough." The hand was distinctly visible to both individuals present. After a season the excitement of the spirit became allayed, and he departed. During her residence at the house of Mrs. Katz, Mrs. Conant frequently suffered from ill health, but was carefully watched over by her unseen friends, and her every request complied with. On several occasions, when she desired it, a glass of lemonade, placed upon a stand in the room, would be brought to her, held to her lips while she drank, and then replaced. She did not always see the agent who brought it, but could perceive the glass approaching her through the air. The windows would be raised or closed by the invisibles at her desire. She was able, by their assistance, to pass her hand through the flame of a gas jet without experiencing any pain, or receiving a burn. Paper also was treated in the same manner, and came out without even the smell of fire upon it. With reference to these early manifestations, and also those recorded in subsequent pages, the reader, skeptic or otherwise, will remember that they are not founded on hearsay evidence, but are transcribed at the dictation of Mrs. Conant herself, and san all be attested by the most credible living witnesses, many of whom, including Mrs. Katz so often referred to, are still residing in Boston and vicinity. 4. Mrs. M. A. Pope, who had been previously located at Watertown, Mass, removing to Tyleston Street, Boston, was very desirous that Mr. and Mrs. Conant should make a home at her house, which they finally decided to do, going to their new quarters in October, 1855. Nothing of particular interest occurred to diversify the even current of her experiences for some time after, but one afternoon in the month of December, same year, while she was engaged in giving a sitting for a gentleman, Dr. Fisher took control, saying that he regretted to bring the séance so suddenly to a close, but his medium was needed for another purpose. The gentleman at once left the house, and Mrs. Conant remained in a disturbed state of mind, not knowing what was about to happen. While sitting in her room she heard the doorbell violently ring, and though it was not her custom to answer it, yet led by an uncontrollable impression, she hastily obeyed its summons, and met at the threshold a party of men bearing Col. Pope home in their arms. She retained her consciousness long enough to hear that he had met with an accident, by which one of his lower limbs had been fractured, after which Dr. Fisher assumed control of her organism, not quitting his hold for 2 hours. He first skillfully examined the wound, pronouncing it a severe one, but was of opinion that he could soon restore the patient, if the parties interested were willing to put the ease in his hands. The colonel and his family expressed a wish that he should undertake the treatment, so the spirit physician continued to work over the broken limb till all was settled for the present, as far as bandaging and preventives to the arising of inflammation were concerned. A brother of Mr. Pope, who was present, ridiculed the idea that the spirit doctor could be of any service, and announced his intention of sending for a regular physician. Although Mr. and Mrs. Pope declared that such person should not be allowed to interfere now that the limb was dressed, Dr. Fisher told them that a doctor could be sent for if they chose, that others might be satisfied of his skill. Accordingly, the family physician made his appearance, but as soon as he had seen the work of the spirit surgeon he declared that it was well performed, and that there was nothing left for him to do. In the astonishingly short space of 3 weeks Mr. Pope was able to go out of the house, and was soon after fully restored, experiencing no trouble since from this limb, but finding it in every way in as good condition as before the accident. The case awakened much interest at the tiny, an account of it appearing in the Boston Daily Mail, and people coming from various parts of the state to question concerning the matter for themselves. Not long after his recovery, while Col. Pope was riding in an omnibus on Washington Street, The conversation among several of the passengers turned upon spiritualism and the late surgical operation said to have been so successfully performed by a spirit medium. One of the party doubtingly remarked, "I should like to see that man whose leg was set by a female spirit medium." Cole. Pope immediately replied, "Gentlemen, I am the man, and can vouch for the entire truth of the statement." Cole. Pope is still alive, residing in Boston, and bears willing testimony to the truth of this account. Many difficult cases were brought for the consideration of the spirit doctor. After his treatment of the foregoing, the time of his medium was entirely consumed by the demands of patients, and many wonderful cures were wrought by him during Mrs. Conant's residence at the house. Whenever Dr. F. perceived on the morning of any particular day that he was about to have a serious matter presented for examination, he would control his medium, and through her, give orders to Mrs. Pope that she must be exceedingly careful of Ms. C.S. diet, and give her nothing, till further orders, but plain gruel, a provision which was not very agreeable to Mrs. Conant, but seemed to be indispensable for his successful operation through her organism. These directions were implicitly obeyed by Mrs. Pope, whose confidence in Dr. F. was unbounded. V. Her invisible guides now gave directions to Mrs. Conant that she must discontinue manual labor in any form, prescribing even her sewing for herself, but she being of an active turn of mind, found it impossible to remain seated, when she had a leisure moment, without some employment to occupy her attention. Among her attendant spirits was an old Indian chief, Wapanor, who particularly, in his capacity of magnetic adviser, objected to her so doing, giving as a reason, that by wasting her bodily strength in physical labor, she was expending the life force which was necessary for consumption by the spirits in their operations. On one occasion, shortly after the accident just recounted, as she sat sewing upon a black silk dress which she desired soon to complete, this Indian friend continued especially near her, and great was her annoyance at the obstacles which he threw in her way with a view to discouraging her personal efforts to finish it, he desiring her to employ someone else. At the time Cole Pope and his wife were in the room. A skein of silk which Mrs. Conant was using suddenly disappeared, and could not be found, although, vexed at its loss, she continued to search for it for some time. She then abandoned the chase, and prepared another, saying, "I will hold this fast enough." Just as she had so expressed herself, Mr. Pope, who was seated on a sofa at the opposite side of the room from her, cried out, "Look over your head." She did so, and there, suspended by some invisible power, was the missing skein, which was then dropped upon the floor at her feet. The Indian explained that he had abstracted the silk, and held it suspended in the air, at the same time rendering it, by a process known to himself, invisible to their eyes, but that finding her determined to go on with the employment, he thought he might as well return it to her. This aboriginal friend, on many occasions, proved his interest in her welfare by endeavoring to minister to her health through the subtle powers of spirit chemistry. The medium was extremely opposed to taking medicine, but, owing to her enfeebled colon, found it absolutely necessary that she should overcome her dislike. While thinking the matter over on a certain evening, she was entranced by Wapanor, who demanded that Mrs. Pope should bring him a glass of water. When it was before him, he referred to Ms. Conant's dislike to medicine, and said he would arrange the matter for her. The hand of the entranced medium was then placed over the top of the glass. In a moment or two he declared the water to be sufficiently medicated. On Mrs. Conant recovering from the trance she again complained concerning the disagreeable medicine she was to take on retiring, when she was told by Mrs. P. that all she need do would be to drink the contents of the glass. She partook of the water it contained, with little faith as to its efficacy, but found that its results were identical with the prescription which had been intended for her. Vi. Samuel Upham, a trance medium, then in ill health and since deceased, called on her one evening in February, 1856, for an examination by Dr. Fisher, with reference to his disease. Hardly had both seated themselves, when the male medium became entranced by the spirit of an Indian chief who gave his name as White Cloud.